Greetings, warrior veterans and America-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom. Hoo-wah! I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Thanks for joining us. This Saturday, the third Saturday in May, is Armed Forces Day. It's probably the least recognized or celebrated holiday in our nation. We should be honoring those fine Americans who are currently wearing our nation's uniform in the active service, National Guard, or Reserves. We ask you to join us in saluting those great Americans who are ready to defend our nation now. Joining me at the 50 caliber microphone today is Marine vet Skip Coriel. I am guessing that you've been in your garden, Skip. How good am I?
Oh, you are incredible. I've been in the garden. It's nice and warm out there and vegetable time. We are planting all kinds of stuff. We did bell peppers, cayenne peppers, tomatoes, cabbage, kale. And later today, we're going to do cucumbers and squash and zucchinis and all kinds of stuff. There's miles to plant before we sleep, Colonel.
Well, I believe you. You must have miles if you're going to plant all that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
I know you well enough to know that you really are.
Well, we still got kids at home, and we either grow or kill pretty much everything that we eat, Colonel.
Well, that is sort of the history or the heritage of our nation, isn't it?
Absolutely. It is a forgotten skill set that people are starting to relearn now that hyperinflation is setting in.
Well put. Okay, here's what we have for you today. On news and comments by the Colonel, I'm going to discuss what's going on in Russia, given the absence of victory in Ukraine. Then Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby will join us with his warrant wisdom. You know, it's pretty clear that our military is hostile to freedom of religion. So veteran and attorney Davis Younts will discuss that. Then we'll meet the National Commander of the American Legion, Paul Dillard, a Navy vet who, like me, is a Vietnam vet. And co-host and retired Coast Guard Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby will join us to discuss a World War II Medal of Honor hero who crashed his Corsair aircraft to save a friend.
Hey, troops, please invite your friends to join us at this time on this great radio station. Then head on out to frontlinesoffreedom.com and sign up for our free e-newsletter. And join the conversation at facebook.com/frontlinesoffreedom.
We welcome your input to this show. Send us your ideas and comments through our website, frontlinesoffreedom.com, or do it by Facebook. And now it's time for news and comment by the Colonel on Frontlines of Freedom. And of course, we'll start with the news. Take us there, Skip.
Well, Russian Minister of Defense Sergei Shoigu recently spoke with our Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin after months of refusing direct contact with his American counterpart. But officials said the call didn't appear to signal any change in Moscow's war in Ukraine. A senior Defense Department official said that while Austin believes the hour-long conversation was important in the effort to keep lines of communication open, it didn't resolve any acute issues or lead to any change in what the Russians are doing or saying as the war continues. The call, initiated by Austin, marked the highest level American contact with a Russian official since the war began in late February. Over the past several months, Pentagon officials have repeatedly said that Russian leaders declined to take calls from Austin and our chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff.
Well, I'm glad they could talk, but our nation is so weak that we have little to say that could make a difference. Russia seems to be making all the calls, but it's worth noting that Russia's not accomplishing a lot.
Expectant mother Galina Kubiak says she misses her home in Ukraine, but has fallen in love with Romania, the neighboring country where she fled with her two small children to escape the war. Quote, sometimes we go to the store and they find out we're Ukrainians and people give the kids milk or cookies, or sometimes they just give hugs, said the 35-year-old who now lives in a northern Romanian city. I'm so surprised in a good way by the kindness of the people, she said. Since Russia invaded on February 24, more than 6 million people have fled Ukraine, the UN Refugee Agency announced. Russia's war, which it insists on calling a special military operation, has prompted one of the worst humanitarian crises in Europe since World War II. Poland has absorbed the majority of refugees, over 3.2 million, while more than 900,000 went to Romania. Many others have fled to other neighboring countries like Hungary, Slovakia, and Moldova. Like many of the millions of refugees, mostly women and children, who have fled the war, Kubiak's journey so far has been a mixture of hope and horror. Her family hails from a village just a few kilometers from Bucha outside Kiev, and now infamous site of war crimes by Russian forces.
So the war continues. The outcome is uncertain. I do wonder why some of the neighboring nations aren't actively supporting Ukraine. Don't they realize that they could well be next?
Well, the invasion across our southern border continues, and so does the disrespect of Border Patrol agents. Remember when they were falsely accused of whipping Haitian immigrants while riding horses? The investigation determined that agents were not holding whips, but rather they were holding reins on the horses to steady themselves while riding. Well, even after these claims were debunked, our border agents remain barred from horseback. Prohibition from horseback means they have a harder time pursuing criminals on the border and making their way through hard terrain. Oh, and once news broke of Border Patrol officials being banned from horseback riding, even after the previous investigation, the Department of Homeland Security remains mysteriously missing in action.
This is criminally insane. Is there any wonder that the suicide rate among Border Patrol agents is way up? Why is our government doing all they can to facilitate illegals entering our country?
Certainly, the biggest threat to our nation in a number of ways is China. Well, the top official at the National Institutes of Health has admitted to federal lawmakers that the agency hid the early genomic sequences of COVID-19 that it had uncovered after Chinese scientists requested the move. Acting Director Lawrence Tabak told the House Appropriations Subcommittee that they, quote, eliminated from public view, unquote, the data that had come from a lab in Wuhan, China, the city where the SARS-CoV-2 virus that causes COVID-19 first emerged. In the House hearing, Representative Jamie Herrera Butler from Washington asked Tabak why U.S. health officials would comply with China's request to hide the genomic sequences.
So our government is meeting the needs of China, the creators of COVID-19, in lieu of being open and honest with we, the American people? Everyone in leadership in the National Institutes of Health has to go, and soon.
Veterans, remember that oath to support and defend the Constitution. You know, the Constitution that created the Supreme Court. And now radicals are threatening the lives of the court justices and their families, and that seems to be okay, at least with the federal government and the terrorists in our nation. Well, the Senate unanimously passed a bill that would increase security for justices and their families. The bill would authorize Supreme Court police officers to arrest persons who interfere with the court in performing its duties. It also creates a new criminal penalty for anyone who impedes or obstructs the court. The bill must be approved by the House and signed into law by President Biden in order to be enacted. The protests are expected to continue when the activist group Ruth Sent Us planned protests targeting the homes of Justices Brett Kavanaugh, Samuel Alito, Amy Coney Barrett, John Roberts, Clarence Thomas, and Neil Gorsuch.
Peaceful public protest is fine. It's protected by our Constitution. But riots, threatening and attacking family members is criminal and evil. I hope the House will pass the bill and the president will sign it very soon. Let's see if they do.
The Biden administration's decision to grant an entry visa to an Iranian with connections to that nation's terrorist fighters and Qasem Soleimani is being investigated by Congress. Representative Jim Banks from Indiana asked why a visa was granted to Parviz Parastui. Banks, a member of the House Armed Services Committee, says that Parastui has an overt connection to the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps. That group has been designated by the U.S. as a terror organization that is responsible for many American deaths. Parastui was allowed entry into the U.S. to attend a film event in Los Angeles in April. That event was organized by the leftist and anti-Israel organization Code Pink. While in L.A., Parastui was shown on camera assaulting an Iranian dissident who opposed Iran's record of human rights abuses.
I sometimes wonder why we even have a military to protect our nation when the federal government lets all these enemies in all the time. Well, that's the news. As Americans, it's our responsibility to ensure that our nation is well run and on the right path. Politics and politicians are confusing, but we can work together. Concerned Veterans for America can assist you in getting involved and getting our nation back on a track. Working with them is one of the things I do. Check cv4a.org. That's cv4a.org. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. Coming up on Frontlines of Freedom, I'll share comments by the Colonel. Then we'll enjoy some warrant wisdom. Then we'll talk religious freedom in our military with attorney Davis Younts. At East Troops, take a break. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. Our newest sponsor, FreedomOneCoffee.com, is offering you 15% off your first purchase with the promo code FREEDOM. I urge you to check out this online coffee company today. Not only do they roast your coffee fresh, but they also have the best-looking coffee packaging I've ever seen, all of which was designed by a proud Marine veteran. Their website is easy to use, and they have options you cannot find anywhere else, including bourbon and Cabernet barrel-aged coffees at FreedomOneCoffee.com. This coffee is for the hardworking, freedom-loving American like you. The company is owned by a hardworking Army officer and his wife. Their coffee is flying off the shelves everywhere they retail it. So again, I urge you to visit FreedomOneCoffee.com and enter the promo code FREEDOM at checkout for 15% off this amazing product owned by an amazing soldier. Freedom, the number one, coffee.com.
Nearly 30% of veterans have disabilities caused by military service. At Berry Law, we fight to make sure that every veteran receives full compensation for their injuries. Our team of attorneys, veterans, and former VA employees have helped veterans recover over $100 million in back pay from inadequate VA decisions. For a free consultation, call 888-883-2483.
This is Marine Vet Skip Coriel with your home defense tip of the week. Women should never walk alone in parks, parking garages, or other secluded areas. Rapists, murderers, and robbers look for the lone walker as it enhances their chance of success. Serial rapists need only one woman and will let two women pass on by. So bring a friend along for your walk. And don't forget to stay alert as you walk. This is just one more way to keep your family safe. For more useful tips on home and personal defense, visit homedefenseshow.com.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum. It's 20 minutes after the hour, and you are in formation and listening to the front lines of freedom all across America. Troops, did you know that American farmers are going out of business because people are buying foreign food? It's not good for our nation's security if we can't feed ourselves. We need to maintain our food independence by buying food grown in America. Patriot Foods is not emergency food. It's food produced by our farmers. I love it. Use the promo code FREEDOM and save 10%. Check patriotfoods.com. That's patriotfoods.com. Now it's time for comments by the Colonel. VE Day is May 8th, 1945. VE stands for Victory in Europe, the day that Nazi Germany surrendered. There was still fighting going on until the next day. But World War II in Europe was over. Yes, we still had to fight the Japanese, and we did, and they surrendered on VJ Day. Yeah, that stands for Victory over Japan. That was September 2nd, 1945. That was also, obviously, the end of World War II. Obviously, VE Day, which Russia and some other countries celebrate on May 9th, was a big day for Russia. Indeed, they have weaponized the memory of World War II to the point of victory frenzy, and this year marked a new high. With their military bogged down in Ukraine and their senior leadership clearly lacking tactical competence, the domestic propaganda machine latched on to past successes instead, going into overdrive ahead of the VE commemorations. The fevered pitch, in turn, fueled speculation that President Putin would use the moment to mark a dramatic new stage in his almost three-month war. Well, he didn't. He used a brief speech on Red Square instead to evoke Soviet heroism and repeat assertions that Moscow was provoked into action without once mentioning even Ukraine. This says plenty about the heightened expectation of foreign observers mismatched with reality in a conflict that will clearly grind on for some time. But it was also a reminder of the limits of Putin's power. Even a dictator can't mobilize a nation for war, having called it a special military operation, without unwanted costs. Nor can they easily spin defeat as a national success. It's a very popular holiday, given that much of Russia was a battleground in World War II, and that the vast majority of Russians have World War II veterans in their families. But May 9th has become an even bigger holiday under Putin, part of his efforts to recreate the Soviet Union and boost national pride. He has nurtured the cult of the Great Patriotic War and appropriated Soviet victory over Nazi Germany. He's done this so much that he's used the language of Nazism to justify the invasion of Ukraine. Never mind that Ukraine's president is Jewish, or that the war so far saw Ukraine territory devastated and somewhere between 5 and 7 million of its people killed. Putin's mythology is so overpowering and so separated from the fact that earlier this month, Foreign Minister Lavrov suggested Adolf Hitler had Jewish blood, angering Israel and prompting a rare Kremlin apology. Putin, an amateur historian and a man fond of symbolism, would have gladly used a day full of pomp to declare victory. But declaring victory involves defining the required successes, which Moscow's unclear changing war goals have made that hard to do. Having flexible aims has been useful for the Kremlin, hampering efforts by elites back home to ask inconvenient questions, say like, you know, when the troops had to retreat from around Kyiv and refocus on the eastern part of the country. Oh, but Moscow has created multiple ideas of what success looks like, making it harder to agree on the finale without angering at least some of the loud voices. Another awkward point is that Russia isn't winning. Sure, the war's not over and Russia could yet defeat Ukraine. But for now, even efforts to overpower the southern port of Mariupol are hard to spin as a success. Russian forces are stuck in a conflict that has battered the country's military reputation, depleted its fighting force, and, thanks to sanctions in reaction to the invasion, decimated its economic prospects. Okay, as long as oil exports continue and central bank support's in place, the revenues don't look too weak, and the ruble is holding up. But the departure of ordinary Russians in droves says far more about the reality on the ground. To hold on to IT professionals, over 50,000 left Russia in March alone, and 100,000 were forecasted to leave last month. Putin has been forced to bring in perks that include everything from tax holidays to the ability to avoid conscription. Russians have rallied around the flag and will take some pain in what their government relentlessly portrays as a fight against Western aggressors. Putin's VE Day speech was aimed at cementing that narrative, but it's quite another thing to be asked to take the current situation as a victory and to keep up that pretense. Apart from the highly choreographed rally in Moscow, popular demonstrations for support have been few. So why didn't Putin heed the pro-war shouting hawks on Russia's television, formally declare war, and call for mass mobilization? There is evidence of moves in this direction, and it may yet happen. But shattering the pretense of normalcy that comes with dubbing a war a special military operation would have meant acknowledging this effort's huge cost, plus recognizing the new normal of sanctions and isolation is here to stay, something the Kremlin is less than eager to do. Putin has few options for the future. Instead of creating more, he has instead surrounded himself with bombast, military theater, and cliches stuck in the past. Who knows how this war will end up, or even if Putin will survive? We can pray for the Ukrainian people and for the Russian people. And those are my comments for today. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. You're listening to Frontlines of Freedom. Now we get to enjoy some warrant wisdom with Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. What do you have this week, Roland?
Following the first Gulf War in 1990 and 1991, nearly one-third of all who deployed reported unexplained chronic symptoms, such as rashes, fatigue, brain fog, muscle and joint pain, and a bunch of other stuff. And in the years following the war, veterans who sought medical help at the Department of Veterans Affairs were greeted with skepticism and sent to psychiatrists for mental health treatment. Even health surveys conducted on Gulf War veterans in the early 2000s focused mainly on questions about psychological symptoms. And in 2013, veteran suspicion of the lack of concern at the VA were confirmed when a VA whistleblower came forward to say that the department buried research findings that would link physical ailments to military service, which was a concerted effort to deny veterans health care and benefits. So after nearly 30 years of trying to prove the theory that an environmental toxin was responsible for sickening roughly 250,000 U.S. troops who served the 1990-91 Persian Gulf War, a study published last week in the Journal of Environmental Health Perspectives used genetic research and survey data to determine that U.S. service members exposed to sarin gas were more likely to develop Gulf War illness. Originally developed as a pesticide, the chemical weapon sarin was known to have been stockpiled by Iraqi President Saddam Hussein prior to and after the Persian Gulf War. The synthetic nerve agent attacks the central nervous system and brain, killing victims by triggering an overreaction of neurotransmitters that causes convulsions and asphyxiation. and thousands of coalition troops were likely exposed to the chemical weapon when the U.S. destroyed a bunker housing chemical weapons in southern Iraq, sending a plume of contaminants that spread across a 25-mile radius. And others may have been subject to low levels of the contaminant, as troops frequently reported chemical weapon alarms going off in the absence of any apparent attack. This new research could pave the way for more veterans to access health care and benefits and open up research into possible treatments. You see, unlike a stroke, which kills neurons in the brain, the Gulf War symptoms are caused by brain inflammation, which may actually be treatable. So although 30 years too late, it's good news that we're starting to make progress on this illness that has affected so many of our veterans. For Frontlines of Freedom, I'm Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. Back to you, Colonel.
Straight ahead on Frontlines of Freedom, we'll discuss freedom of religion, or the absence of it, in our military. Then we'll talk with the American Legion's National Commander. All this is coming up. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. You're standing tall with the Frontlines of Freedom. I'll be right back. Troops, it's time for pull-ups. Start with 40, take a break, do another 30, then stand at ease.
Fresh, flash, frozen from the American farmer every time. PatriotFoods.com, hit the shop now button. You're supporting a veteran family in need every time you shop. Look at us online, see how we give back. For the servicemen and women of this great country, we are fighting for the American farmer. PatriotFoods.com. Promo code FREEDOM, 10% off today, folks. Shop now.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum. I buy Patriot Foods. It's great. PatriotFoods.com, promo code FREEDOM.
We were instrumental in passing the VA Mission Act so more veterans could have options and freedom in their health care. We're leading the charge to end America's endless wars, bringing thousands of troops home and stopping trillions of dollars from being wasted. Our key to success? You. We bring your voice to our nation's leaders so we can all have a better future. We are Concerned Veterans for America, the voice of veterans for freedom and prosperity. Visit cv4a.org to learn more and join the movement.
If you are suffering from anxiety, joint muscle aches, or trouble sleeping, try Day 3 Creation, a Christian family-owned provider of American-made, non-intoxicating, non-addictive CBD products created from natural, organic, laboratory-tested ingredients. Day 3 comes from a servant's heart as God calls us to care for each other with compassion and honesty. 10% of all profits go to Patriot Paws, providing disabled vets with service dogs. Visit day3creation.com to learn more. God bless. Troops, welcome back to the nation's largest military veteran talk radio show, Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Troops, please do send me your comments and questions. Email me through frontlinesoffreedom.com. It's an honor to welcome Air Force vet and attorney David Young. One of his focuses is the huge issue in our military today, that of freedom of religion. The biggest issue is the way that the Pentagon has granted virtually no religious exemptions from getting the COVID shot. And the troops who have sought such an exemption have been horribly treated in all the services in a number of different ways. And there's some other things, too. Anyway, that's why I was delighted that you could join us today. Welcome, Davis.
Hey, thank you so much for the chance to come on the show.
Hey, Davis, start by telling us about your time in uniform. When and why did you join? Where did you serve? What'd you do?
Yeah, I appreciate the opportunity to do that. So I hit 20 years of total service in December, assuming that I can get an accommodation to the vaccine myself. But that's sort of the end of the story. It began in law school. I was in law school when 9/11 happened at Penn State's law school in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. And I knew at that moment it was my time to serve. So I had the opportunity. I was accepted into the Air Force JAG Corps, into that program. I was a prosecutor at Lackland Air Force Base in San Antonio, then a prosecutor at the Air Force Academy in Colorado Springs. Then I became a defense counsel. I was a defense counsel in Colorado, senior defense counsel in Texas. And then I ended my active duty career with a deployment in support of Operation Enduring Freedom. And my last job on active duty, I was chief of the Military Justice Division at the Air Force JAG School. From active duty, I transitioned to working for the Pennsylvania National Guard. So I worked directly for the Army for 2 years in a full-time capacity. Then I transitioned to private practice. where I represent military members in court-martial and administrative proceedings all over the world. Been doing that since 2015, and I still serve as a lieutenant colonel in the Air Force Reserves. In that capacity, I'm an instructor in the Military Justice Division at the Air Force JAG School.
So you're not bored? Okay.
Well. No, sir. No, sir.
Okay. Let's start with an overview. It's really clear that something is bizarrely wrong with freedom of religion when you just look at the total absence of religious exemptions from people getting the COVID shot. I guess a couple of times courts have forced it, but the military didn't ever do it. And that is what got my attention, but there's more going on than that. But let's start there. What is going on there? How could this be?
Well, that's sort of the question many of us are asking, right? So myself, as an Air Force officer, and then representing clients in my private capacity as an attorney, when this all came out, many of us were just optimistic. We looked at this and we said, okay, the Religious Freedom Restoration Act is very clear. DOD instructions are very clear. And it's clear that the default position of the military for a long time has been, if you have a sincerely held religious belief, and there's a way to accommodate that belief, the military is going to find a way to do it. So we've seen that. We've seen that from dietary restrictions. We've seen that from head coverings. We've even seen a rash of approvals for military members to have beards in celebration of their Norse neo-pagan beliefs. So religious accommodations have been something that have been part of the military fabric for the 20 years that I've been in. But this has been very, very different. The only accommodations we've seen granted so far have been for individuals who are already leaving the service, meaning they already have an approved separation or separation date. So quite frankly, and even last week, the Air Force openly admitted this, they're not real accommodations. It's very clear they're not real. They're for people that are already leaving. And so they're getting out and separating anyway.
You know, this is crazy. That there just isn't any logical explanation unless there has been a decision made that nobody has any rights here, religious or otherwise. How can that happen? Who would do that? I mean, when I run this, I taught American government, local college for 15 years. We've had some goofy people elected to office that throughout our history. That's just part of life. We've never had anything like this before, have we?
Not that I've seen for a long time. And it sort of comes on the heels. So, you know, this vaccine mandate is what I want to say, an easy picture of what's been happening in the military. So what my clients are seeing with this vaccine mandate is it's being treated differently than anything else, not just on the religious front, but on the medical front as well. You know, as you well know, DOD instructions are very, very clear. If you have had a disease and so you have natural immunity or positive serology for that disease, you get an exemption from the vaccination. That's just standard. That's what happens. Not the case for this. They're not granting medical exemptions for natural immunity. They're not granting medical exemptions for people that are pregnant, breastfeeding, for people who have documented allergies. I have many clients who have documented allergies. In other words, a competent, sometimes military, sometimes private medical provider has said, you are allergic to the ingredients of this vaccine. There's a significant health risk for you if you take this vaccine. And the military is saying, get it anyway. Get it anyway.
You know, and that logic is impossible. But then when you go to, quote, the science, there's never, ever been anything that works 100% on everybody medically. So to say that, well, we have to be deployable or else, maybe the first few months somebody could say that because we didn't know. But by now we know there's nothing to it. There, as many people have died who had the shot as didn't, all that kind of stuff. And they're not bending, are they?
They're not bending. And, you know, I could give, just hundreds of anecdotes of folks that I've talked to. But, you know, the first group of clients I started representing were a group of 30 Navy SEALs. And as I'm sitting in the room meeting and talking to these guys, every single one of them had COVID. Most of them had COVID while they were deployed. And it meant that they were tired and had cold symptoms for a couple of days. Now, I've had COVID myself. I recognize that it's worse for some people, but when we look at military members, especially guys like Navy SEALs, they're the healthiest. You know the incredible shape those guys are in. And for those guys, especially those that have already had it, to be treated as second-class citizens, to not be allowed to train, not to be allowed to deploy, not to be utilized at all, to be threatened, it's been just very, very difficult to even comprehend.
The only thing I can conclude, Davis, is that there's an agenda here that doesn't have anything to do with science or anything to do with religion or anything to do with health that somebody's trying to push. That's the only logic I've come up with, because if these two things are going on, there's other things going on too. Isn't that a logical conclusion?
It is a logical conclusion, and there's a couple of different ways to look at it. One way to look at this is to ask the question, what is driving the decisions behind the way the COVID vaccine is being handled? Again, just as an example. And what I am seeing over and over again is it's highly political. And what I mean by that is my clients are in situations where their immediate supervision doesn't care. They just want healthy people to do the job. And then there's, you know, their boss says, yeah, I'm the same way. I don't care. I've had plenty of clients whose leadership has supported their accommodation requests or their medical exemption, and it's been denied anyway. So it feels extremely political, meaning coming directly from the Pentagon. There is no exception. And commanders have been put in tremendous pressure. You know, commanders are threatened that they will be fired if they don't get to 100%. And the Pentagon keeps setting arbitrary deadlines for compliance, and commanders are in the hot seat, and commanders risk losing their job if their folks are not 100% vaccinated. So again, this vaccine mandate is an example of other things we've been seeing, and they have been worse over the last couple of years, which is what my clients have seen as well.
Wow. Well, I taught political science for many years, and I've always said politics. Poly means many, ticks are blood-sucking insects. And that seems to be what's going on here. Well, there's more to discuss about religious freedom in our military, or the lack thereof, and Davis will stay with us. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. Troops, it's push-up time. I want you to do 103 push-ups. That's how many I do, well, most days. Then take a break, but stay in the area. We'll be right back.
This hour of Frontlines of Freedom is brought to you by HelpVet.net. HelpVet.net is an online resource and information center dedicated to the welfare of those who have sacrificed for the freedoms, ideals, and morals we Americans hold dear to our hearts. At HelpVet.net, find information on benefit-related issues from education, healthcare, military pay, retirement, VA loans, and resources on education, finance, legal, health and wellness, the military life, moving and housing, travel and entertainment, and much, much more. Visit HelpVet.net, HelpVet.net.
Friends, there's not too many things I enjoy more than helping veterans and eating great beef jerky. Now I can do both. My good friends at Tango3.org and America's Best Beef Jerky use the highest quality beef to make the best jerky I've ever tasted. Trust me, I've eaten a lot. But that's not all. They give 100% of the profit to veterans programs, mental health and suicide prevention. Go to americasbestbeefjerky.com and order now. And at checkout, check the Frontlines of Freedom promo code. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. This is the final formation for this hour on Frontlines of Freedom. We're continuing our conversation with veteran and attorney Davis Younce on the topic of freedom of religion in our military. Davis, it's clear from our earlier discussion that the whole thing of COVID shots and stuff is political. There isn't any other explanation. Medical doesn't make any sense. Nothing else does either. But rather than go back and beat that horse, which I think we covered pretty well, there's other things too. If a person who's a minister wants to be in the military and is nominated by his or her denomination, and the military accepts that person, if I were a Baptist or a Presbyterian or a Jew, You're accepting me as that. And therefore, you know I'm coming in with that value set. But they sometimes get told they can't articulate their value sets. And I've talked to one chaplain recently who was seriously punished for praying in Jesus' name in public. This is crazy, isn't it?
It is. And I have a couple of different examples of that. I have a client right now that's a chaplain who refused to do a Buddhist prayer. He refused to do the prayer at that, and at the same time was dealing with a same-sex wedding. And the issue was precisely what you're saying. His denomination that provided him the credentials to be an ordained minister in order to be qualified as a chaplain would have revoked his credentials, his ordination, if he had done either of those things. And he ended up being disciplined by the military for refusing to do them. And he didn't do it in a heavy-handed way. I mean, this is a kind-hearted, soft-spoken person who he didn't say anything controversial. He didn't do anything controversial. He just took a stand for his faith. Similarly, I have a commander that's a Navy commander client who had a habit as an XO to have a couple of Bibles in his office. And when he would counsel someone, if they ask any questions about his leadership style or anything else, he would say, there's zero pressure, but there's a book over there that's been influential in my life and forms the basis of my ability to be a leader and to be successful in my career. And you're welcome to take a copy if you'd like. It's my gift to you. And he was sent to an administrative separation board for doing that. So this vaccine mandate is an example and one that does not make sense based on the science or military readiness, but it's something we're seeing in the military over the last couple of years. It's definitely heated up, but it's a reality for many service members.
And that's something that I'm pretty sure most people are not particularly aware of, but this is something that if we can do this to our military people, they can do it to us too. And one, our military is there to protect us, but we need to protect them. Is that a fair statement?
It's absolutely a fair statement. And I think that's one of the things that resonates so true for many of my clients, those involved in the vaccine mandate, but chaplains and other clients that are pushing and advocating for religious freedom in the military is the concern that if those who have sworn an oath to give our lives supporting and defending the Constitution are just going to lay down and not stand for faith, not stand for religious freedom in the military, then there is no barrier to what's coming for the rest of society. That's a grave concern for many of my clients, and I think we see that. We've seen in the past where the military has been used by politicians for social experimentation, and it's something that they try on the military, and if they can get away with it or it works there, then it becomes a part for the rest of society. So I think that's something we have to be vigilant for, and it's a problem today in the military.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. We're talking with veteran and attorney Davis Younts. Davis, I retired from the Army in 1986, and I am an active Christian. I'm also a Jew. I never had any problem at all. I mean, I used my head. I wasn't obnoxious. I didn't push anything on anybody. And I don't know, maybe because I was naive, that anybody was having those kind of problems. So I don't think that's part of our history. Do you see anything like that going way back? I mean, there's always isolated incidents, but I'm talking about a movement like we see now.
No, I mean, I came in 2002, I commissioned, and what I have seen personally is really this heating up dramatically only over the past couple of years. The past couple of years, what I have seen is different than what I saw before. There have been very few times in my military career as a JAG, advising command and other things, where I felt any conflict at all with my personal religious faith and the mission or the policies of the Air Force or the military as a whole. The last couple of years, it's been different. I mean, I remember just vividly sitting down and receiving anti-extremism training and sensitivity training as a military member, as a JAG, as a lieutenant colonel, and being given a definition of extremism that was, if you believe in something so strongly, it would alter your life, or you would be willing to give your life for it. You are an extremist.
Who?
And I sat there and I looked around the room, and I'm thinking, as a Christian, as someone who served as a lay pastor, elder at a church, someone of faith like myself, absolutely, you know, I would pray that I would have the strength of my commitment to my faith to give my life, if required, in obedience to scripture and the Bible and what God would call me to do. But even more than that, you know this, we all take an oath in the military. We raise our right hand and swear an oath that we're willing to give our lives to support and defend the Constitution. So that training we were getting was basically saying, if you're so committed to something that it would alter your life, or you would give up your life for it, everybody in that room, everybody that joins the military then met the definition of an extremist. So the problem with that is it's not just about a religious prosecution and a potential purge of Christians in the military. It's creating a confused military where what political leadership is looking for is people that will just go along with whatever they say, and no one's willing to stand up to it. And that's sadly what I've seen more clearly over the last couple of years, is far too many military leaders simply, whether it's because they're trying to get promoted or they're looking to protect their pension, are willing to simply go along to get along and not take a stand.
Troops, what you just heard is true. Please, you contact your U.S. representatives and U.S. senators and ask them why they're letting this happen. We got to do something about it. That's Davis, right. We're about out of time. If there are some listeners that would like to get in touch with you, how could they do that? Because it sounds like there's more people out there that need help than maybe are getting it.
That's right. There's a huge need for continued awareness and a continued fight on this issue. So there's two places folks can go. One is standwithwarriors.org. standwithwarriors.org. That's a nonprofit set up by some pastors and others, first to help Navy SEAL clients. But that's a great place for people to go to check it out. If members of the public just want to go and help, that's an organization that is helping in this fight. So that's a place to go. My website is yountslaw.com. That's my last name, yountslaw.com. You can also reach out to me there and get information. And even if we cannot represent everyone, because I certainly cannot represent the 30 to 50,000 people that are still in this fight, we're certainly trying to prioritize those that are at the very end of this fight, that are going to a board or even potentially court-martial, and trying to help those that we can with the resources we do have.
Davis, thank you. Thank you for that. Thank you for joining us today. Thank you for your service to our nation in uniform. Thank you for what you're doing now. I'm proud to call you friend and brother.
Amen. Thank you.
This concludes the first hour of the show. We'll start the second hour meeting the National Commander of the American Legion, Vietnam vet Paul Dillard. Then we'll discuss flying the Corsair, two heroes who did that, with Roland Ashby. Of course, we'll conclude with our weekly mailbag, military history, and our Armed America Report. Troops, I'm not fond of pain, and I absolutely won't use addicting products. That's why I can recommend Day 3 Creation products if you're in pain. Use the code FREEDOM when you order at day3creation.com. Save 20%. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. Troops, it's time for jumping jacks. Do 50 good ones. Grab some protein, rehydrate with water. And finally, put a big smile on your proud-to-be-an-American face and send me your thoughts by email or on Facebook.